Thank you, Chip and choir. Didn't they do a great job last Sunday night? That was quite a job, and they really blessed us last week with their performance and with the worship that we were able to do. And y'all did a great job also of inviting people. I was, you know, walking around, and I was out in the gathering room, and it seemed like there were more people walking through those doors that weren't y'all than were y'all. A lot of guests came last week, and we're grateful for that. Christmas Eve, of course, is the time to invite people as well. It's one of those times of the year that people are most open to an invitation to come to church. So if you know somebody who doesn't have a church home, isn't doing anything on Christmas Eve, invite them to come with you as we worship together Saturday at 7 o'clock. Let's turn to John chapter 1 this morning. We're going to look at John's account of the incarnation in the first five verses. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Familiar passage of Scripture. I bet a lot of you can say this from memory, at least the first part, but I bet you can get through a good bit of it as well. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Yeah, but first there's darkness, right? I know that sounds like maybe I'm being a little Scroogey, a little bah humbuggy, not even a word. But I'm not. I'm just saying that before there was light, there was darkness in the beginning. When God created the heavens and the earth was null and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. That's why the first thing that God did in creation was create light. Before, there was only night. Only night. And have you noticed how much of the Christmas story takes place at night? In Matthew, an angel appears to Joseph in a dream, telling him that it was all right to marry Mary, even though she was with child with someone else's child. It was all right because that someone else was God. Joseph was sleeping. It was night. And the Magi followed a star from Babylon to Bethlehem, which means that they slept during the day and they traveled at night. Presumably, they arrive at Joseph's house in the night. And Luke specifically says that it was nighttime when the angel appeared to the shepherds who were keeping watch over their flocks. The darkness precedes the light. The people who live in darkness have seen a great light. The darkness comes first. And that's not a theological statement. You understand that, right? The other day, a friend of mine posted on Facebook, she said, if we can only see one Christmas movie this season, what should it be? And of course, you got some It's a Wonderful Life people and the Christmas Carol people, but I was surprised by how many people said Elf. And they did so definitively, all caps, 3 exclamation points, or Elf, duh, was one of the responses. As if, what could you be thinking? People love this movie, Elf. Now, Elf is a story of Buddy. Buddy was born in an orphanage, and on Christmas Eve, while Santa is distracted by the milk and cookies, Buddy crawls out of his crib and into Santa's bag. And somehow or another, they don't explain this, but somehow or another, while the rest of the night he's delivering the toys all over the world from his bag of toys, he doesn't notice that there's a baby inside of his bag. Not until he returns to the North Pole and Buddy crawls out. So Buddy is raised by Papa Elf, which is not Santa Claus, it's Bob Newhart. All right? He's raised as an elf, but of course he's not an elf, he's human. And he grows to be huge, at least huge by elfish standards, and that's not an advantage at the North Pole, except on the elf basketball team. It's a good thing there, but he doesn't fit in any of the furniture, and he's the rest of the time, Buddy's just a poor fit for the North Pole. He's terrible at making toys, absolutely terrible at it. He's the worst. And then one day finds out that, in fact, he is not an elf, that he's human. That Papa Elf isn't his father after all. His birth father lives in New York City, and he's on the naughty list. So Buddy sets off from the North Pole to go to New York City to find his father. And as you can imagine, he doesn't fit in New York City either. See, although he's human, he's more elf than he is human. He's an innocent abroad. He's an innocent cut loose in a cutthroat city. But to him, now, New York City is a wonderland. And he's enamored. He's amazed. He's confused sometimes, but he's more amazed than he's confused. Revolving doors amaze him. Escalators confound him. But to him, like I said, New York is a wonderland. Of course, he lands in New York during Christmas time. And in New York City, Christmas isn't about the joy of Christ's birth. It's about buying and selling and making a buck. For Buddy, Christmas is about giving and about happy children and about Christmas cheer. And he's entered a world where there is no Christmas cheer. Remember, the darkness comes first. In this scene we're getting ready to watch, Buddy has entered a department store, and he's wearing his genuine elf clothes, but one of the managers of the store thinks that he's an employee in the Christmas section of the department store. So let's watch what happens right now. So Buddy has Christmas cheer, and nobody else does. So then he sees another elf, or at least a girl dressed like an elf. She's a girl named Jovi, and she's dressed like an elf because it's her job in the department store. But she's, though her name may be Jovi, she's anything but jovial. She doesn't have Christmas cheer either. So we're going to watch one more clip.
Are you enjoying with you?
You are very good at decorating that tree.
Why are you messing with me? Did Crumpet put you up to this?
I'm not messing with you. It's just nice to be another human who shares my affinity for elf culture.
I'm just trying to get through the holidays.
Get through? Christmas is the greatest day in the whole wide world.
Please stop talking to me.
Sounds like someone needs to sing a Christmas carol.
No way.
Best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Thanks, but I don't
sing. Well, it's easy. It's just like talking. It's like louder and longer, and you move your voice up and down.
I can't sing, but I just choose not to sing. Especially in front of other people.
Well, if you sing alone, you can sing in front of other people. There's no difference.
Actually, there's a big difference.
No, no, there isn't. Wait. I'm singing! I'm in a store, and I'm singing!
There is no singing in the North Pole. That pretty much says it all. And the rest of the story is about Buddy helping the people of New York City, including his father, find Christmas cheer by believing in Santa again. Now, I don't want to push it too much, all right? But there's actually some biblical theology in this movie, all right? Just walk with me here, all right? The North Pole is a wonderful place, practically perfect, where everybody's happy and encouraging, where everybody enjoys what they're doing, whether it's work or play, and they do it well with each other. It's kind of like heaven. New York is the opposite. There's no cheer. There's no happiness. People are angry and impatient. They're out to buy and sell and make as much money as possible. It's a place where if people once believed, they no longer do. Kind of like Earth. And Buddy is both elf and human, kind of both and not either. He's an innocent, like I said, and innocent doesn't fit in. He comes to New York. He leaves the North Pole, and he comes to New York. And his innocence, not only doesn't it fit in, but it actually provokes hostility. So much so that he's ultimately rejected by his father. But ultimately, Buddy helps people believe in Santa, and the result of believing in Santa brings joy and cheer and keeps the spirit of Christmas alive. Like I said, there's some theology in this story. 12 Christmas is all about spreading Christmas cheer by singing loudly for all to hear. Boy, I wish it were that simple. Don't you? I wish it were as simple as just singing, but regrettably, for many Christmas is a season to just survive, right? And that's why Jovi said, "I'm just trying to get through the season." Depression and grief and loneliness are often exacerbated by shattered family circumstances or increased debt loads. Christmas calendars are overloaded and causing us to think of just trying to get through the holidays. How many times have you heard yourself say that? At least think it. Just got to get through the holidays. David Crabtree wrote in a 2012 article, he said, "Christmas cheer comes under a withering attack. The checkout lines go on forever. We growl and whine when only one of 10 registers is open. There is no charity in the mall parking lot. We hunt the elusive parking space like wolves. Cheap-suited Santas charge a king's ransom for a picture of little Eddie or Tiffany crying. December is full of long, clamorous days culminating in the wearied singing of Silent Night. Exhausted by cantatas, parties, shopping, feasting, families, and travel, we arrive at the Bethlehem manger suffering from heat prostration. Christmas Eve will find us lifting our weary voices to sing joy to the world, the Lord has come. Then we rush from the service to get one last gift or visit one last party, and soon it's over. We save the bows, burn the wrappings, strip the tree, labor over our New Year's resolutions. Too often, we have missed the point. We're like the man who goes to the coast but never sees the ocean. The threat of a holiday hijacking is all too real. Unless we engage our hearts in the true celebration of Christmas joy, we are easily caught up in a pointless and mindless holiday. Remember, darkness comes first. This is a commercialization of Christmas that Charlie Brown laments in that show, right? But it's not the only darkness that people experience at Christmas time. The problems of life don't stop just because December rolls around on the calendar. I still have to make hospital visits in December because people still get sick. And this past week, Pam and I went to the funeral home because a friend of hers from the rescue squad, a woman who mentored her when she first started, had suddenly and unexpectedly passed away. She had just turned 60. And for Pam and her family, this is the second Christmas without her father. And to a person, they all say it's harder than last year. A friend of mine is a stay-at-home dad. He has two small children. And this is the third Christmas that they've had to spend without their mother and wife, who died in a car accident 2.5 years ago. He said it's a little bit better this Christmas, but it's still hard. Everything that hurts you or stresses you or grieves you, the other 11 months still hurt and stresses and grieves you in December. And perhaps even more because this is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. But it doesn't always feel that way. The darkness comes first. And to those who live in darkness, there is good news. Christmas joy isn't found primarily on the good days. The joy of Christmas is found primarily on the dark days, on the bad days, on the hard days. Light a candle in the middle of the day and hardly anybody will notice it. Light a candle in the dark of night and it lights for all to see. Magi only saw the star in the dark. During the day, the star was unseen and unseeable. But it was in the dark that the star shone brightly. And the angel appeared to the shepherds at night. And it was at night when they saw the baby Jesus, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The darkness always comes first. But it is always defeated by the light. No matter how small, no matter how dim the light is, the light always wins. You just have to believe in the light. And as Christians at Christmas, our job is not to get caught up in the darkness. Yes, there is the busyness, but in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of everything that's going on, even when we ourselves are experiencing darkness, our job is to be light unleashed. Our job is to shine a light. When Pam and I first got married and moved to Louisville, Kentucky, we were in seminary. I was in seminary. She was, too. She just wasn't taking any classes. She was working full time, and in addition to working full time, I had to get a job because we could probably have qualified for food stamps back then. We were too dumb to even know about it, you know. But we were struggling hand to mouth. So I worked that first year at a department store, and it was a local department store, not a national chain, but it was a big one and a popular one. I worked in the men's department, and of course Christmas comes. And it's the most busy time of the year. And this is back in the old days when in order to go shopping, you actually had to go to a store to buy stuff, you know. So this was, on this particular day, it was a Saturday before Christmas. I mean, it wasn't like the week later like it is this year. Christmas is right around the corner. So it is arguably our busiest day. And so they've got us. Usually it would be one person working a register. You'd take the clothes, you'd bag it, you'd untag it, and ring it all up and everything. But this year, every register had three employees. One person undid the tag, the other person ran the register, the other person bagged the things. So we're going through this, and the line is long. The line is just as long as it can be with people making last-minute purchases. And nobody's happy. It's like an elf, right? Nobody is happy. They're waiting in line. There's not a happy face in the world. So you can imagine, as employees, our happiness when the cash register machine ran out of receipt paper. It, in fact, jammed. So it wasn't just a matter of reaching down underneath and getting more paper. We had to get someone to come fix it. And all the while, the people are waiting in line, and they are looking more and more and more grinchy, if you know what I mean, you know? And we're kind of standing there, kind of looking around, wondering what in the world are we going to do. And I don't, this is not how I normally act, all right? But something came over me, and I reached into my pocket, and I pulled out my keys. And I started doing this. And then I started doing this. And I did this. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. And presently, my fellow employees got out their keys and they started singing. And then a couple people in the crowd, you want to do this right now, don't you? Get out your keys. Right? And presently, a couple people in the crowd, they started laughing and they got out their keys and they started doing it. And before long, the whole men's department is singing Jingle Bells until the paper came down. I don't know what happened in the rest of the departments, but we had Christmas that day, you know. Like I said, this is not normally the kind of thing I would have done. I think it was just a matter of survival. They were getting ready to kill me and I was trying to distract them. But that's what Christmas is about, right? In the midst of the darkness, we find a way to shine the light. And that's exactly what the sermon preached in the movie Elf is about finding joy in Christmas. The joy of Christmas has to be reestablished in our hearts. But it's a joy that cannot be lost in the darkness. It cannot be overcome. It's something that we can truly experience when we do, in fact, believe. Let's pray together. Father, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, human and yet God, God and yet human. You sent him to this place of darkness to not just shine a light, but to be a light. And that light shone in our darkness and exposed the darkness and drove the darkness away. So that now we have the opportunity to know joy. Not just the joy that comes when something good happens, when we get a present that we like, or a child is born, and it's natural to have joy, but joy even in the midst of our deepest, darkest tragedies. We can know that because we have a Savior, and that Savior came and He lived and He died and He rose again and He lives today seated at your right hand and He's coming back. And even in the midst of our darkness, we can believe. And we can experience the light who is your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to reach out to you today, O Lord, in simple childlike faith. And find once again the joy of our Savior's birth. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.